So we saw Nate yesterday morning at the men's breakfast, and he was here just briefly, was not feeling well. So the elders thought, well, Nate, if you feel, you ought to stay home. He told me, he said, I don't think just standing up there in front, sneezing and barking and coughing would be what God wants me to do. And so he's home, and we just pray for his quick recovery. And so today is, this is not really a Christmas message. We told Nate that the elders would cover, and we've prepared some of this message before. But at the same time, this is a Christmas message when you think about it. Now, this message actually took root on April 8th. Can you remember what happened April 8th? April 8th of this past year. Was it? Eclipse, solar eclipse. Okay, right. Very good. Yeah, this hearing piece is blocking half my hearing aid. Not that they work anyway, but anyway. So, yes, April 8th was the solar eclipse. And I was at, Carol and I, we were at SVAC headquarters, the ambulance there, and they asked us just to be on site, just to cover, in the event that there was a something that happened. There'd be a lot of people in town, you know, literally thousands going through town, and they wanted to cover just in case. And I think you all remember nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. Okay, so we sat there, Carol and I, with our grandson, Freddie, then 7 years old, Freddie Rumsey. And at 7 years old, I kind of think they speak the truth. And it was kind of interesting. We sat there through the whole eclipse. And then once it got full and then it started to fade, I turned to him and said, well, what do you think? And he looks at me and he goes, this is boring. Out of the mouth of babes, this is boring. And, the interesting thing is this was his second full eclipse, because by living down in Honduras on the island of Utila, he had seen one earlier in his life. But he sat there and said, Nanny, Pompey, this is boring. But I want to just say, for me, that event, all that might have been boring. But the truth of the matter is, I was where I belonged. I was there because that's where God placed me. It was the opportunity to be there and be ready. I committed to helping out in the event there was something, and I was there. I was being ready to assist others in need. Not only that, I was with people I truly enjoyed. The SVAC, the Speculative Volunteer Ambulance Corps group, is a great group of people, and I really, truly enjoyed them. So I was there, and I was blessed to be with Freddie. And so, but I have to tell you, Freddie made the whole event, a boring event, he made it an adventure. And that's something that I thought was kind of interesting. He made it special, just to be with someone who was special, and it's his honesty, and everything happened. And it was because of who I was with. So God tells us how he can take a normal event and make it special. And I would like to just share what I gleaned out of Acts 3. And you'll remember the story where Peter and John are walking into the temple. They go into the temple. On their way in, they heal a beggar. And this is what happened here. So let me just read a few verses. And it made a very normal, ordinary event very, very special for a number of people. A number of people, something that, as we think about Christmas, Christ's coming makes an awful lot of things very, very special for all of us. So I'm going to read this, and please note, I can barely read that back there. So, and I'm going to be reverting to a king-size Bible soon, so the large print. Here we go. One day, this is Acts 3, 1, we're going to read 1 through 13, and then we'll go through a few other places here. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going in and out of the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple, at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Then Peter saw this. He said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." Then we'll go to verse 16. "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that was given, has given this complete healing to him, as you can see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders." He is referring to the fact that they had crucified Jesus. "But this is how God fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, at that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And so that's what they shared. Now, if you know the whole story, they later got slammed into prison. The authorities were not real thrilled with them talking about Jesus in the temple. And so we read on in Acts 4. Read this here. We'll read 1 through 4 and then 7 through 13. "The priests and the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Going to verse 7. "They had Peter and John brought before them and began questioning them, 'By what power or name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called on account of an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. The stones the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by which man must be saved.' When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unskilled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." These people had been with Jesus. And I think obviously this is not the message that you see listed in your bulletin that Nate was going to do, but if I had to name this, I would say, you know, it matters who you're with. It matters who you're with. So Peter and John acted in that way because they knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They knew what had happened. They believed. They had faith. And that faith produced this miracle of a cripple walking. So it matters who you're with. Peter and John would have told you they're lining up with Jesus Christ. No question about it. I was with my grandson. A boring event was made significant because of who I was with. And as we think about Christmas,
and we think about Jesus coming,
there's many thoughts that we could share about how we've been touched, both in the Christmas season and in life. And I'd like to just take a few minutes right now and just leave it open to our congregation
and just share, let you share
why it matters who you're with. Why it matters who in your past has touched your life. Why it matters what difference it makes. And as you think about Christmas time, this time of the year, it can be a Christmas person, it can be a Christmas event, but what does it matter? What matters in your life? So I'd like to just, I have a microphone here. I'm going to go around, and I've asked Jim Swanson, would you want to share first and then help me?
All right. Jim asked me to prime the pump for you guys. All right. So from my perspective, there's basically two people that I think about that had a significance in my life. One was my mom. I came from a family of seven kids. But every Sunday, she'd make sure we were spit and shine, white shirts, black shoes, ready to go to Sunday school, ready to go to church. Now, my dad didn't go with us, but eventually over the years, he came to know the Lord because of that. So that was very significant to me, that my mom was kind of like the spiritual leader in our household, but through her persistence with seven kids and getting them in the big old station wagons that we had back in those days and no seat belts and seats going the other way and everything else like that. Well, that was significant because eventually through that, I really came to know the Lord. And so that was significant. The other one is my father-in-law. Now, he was someone who, if you think about, if you've read Oswald Chambers at all, he talks about a person's character and a person's reputation. And he had both of those going for him. He was in charge of technology for a little company called United Technologies. It's better known as Raytheon Technologies today. And one of the stories he told me in terms of how strong his faith was that really had an impact on me, he was at the Jet Propulsion Laboratories out in California. And he had all these engineers and scientists around him, and they were talking about, hey, Wes, we got this really great thing we want to show you. They bring him in this room, and they got this fire going. And all of a sudden, this music starts playing. And the music is playing through the fire. Wes looks at him, and he says, hey, he said, 2,000 years ago, he said, Jesus, through a burning bush, talked. He said, and when you guys can get that fire to talk, he said, I'll come back and I'll listen. So just his reputation as well as his character. When the lights are out and nobody's around and you do the right thing, that has a real impact on your life. And so from my perspective, those are two people that have had a real impact in my life in terms of knowing Jesus.
So I'd like to just leave it open for anyone else who'd like to just share about someone they know. I mean, we had Peter and John. They were with Jesus. It didn't matter who they were with. They noticed. Others noticed. Anyone else like to share? Yes. Come over here.
About 20 years ago, I was going through some challenges at my school down at Wells, and it was very meaningful to have certain people come alongside me. They were very strong presences in school. Daryl, you were there for me, and all I had to do was get near you, and you spoke your authentic truth about the Lord, and it meant so much to me at that time. I ended up going to this church and being born again, and it really was an awfully wonderful turning point for me. But you were always there for me, and you meant so much to me in that space where there were a lot of people that didn't profess the Lord as their Savior. So thank you so much.
So it matters who you were with, yeah? Yeah, okay, Daryl.
Beware, whenever I get a chance to speak on a microphone, you're in for it. Just a little history of my family. My great-grandfather was the owner of the Graham's Hotel, so we go back a ways, and graduated here. And a couple people in my life, of course, my wife, she's number one. She stood there for so many years. But two people in my life have passed away, actually three, this year, and they were part of the Graham family. And one of those individuals was my Uncle Harry. He was quite an educator, and God gave him the blessings of 92 years, and he just passed the sixth. And then the other was my brother David. Now, I don't know if Uncle Harry knew the Lord, but my brother David, oh my goodness, he was kind of like my father figure. I grew up without a dad. 5 months old, my mom and he separated and then divorced. And I grew up here. But my brother Dave was kind of like the one who, hey, I'll teach you everything you need to know about life. Well, life goes on, and then when we were adults, I came to know the Lord. And my brother David had quite the experience with drugs, alcohol. And he came to the point where he was really desperate, lost his family, the whole bit. And right over in this little church, the Methodist church, I was able to witness my brother David accepting the Lord. And from that time on, you know, there's theologians, there's people who just can go from the beginning of the Bible to the end, go through exegesis, hermeneutics, whatever. My brother David had one hermeneutic. I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's my Savior. And that has meant so much to me. And his wife, she's still searching. But I had the opportunity on October 6th to pray for my brother because she asked me to. And he had kind of been in and out of the coma. He was dying of liver cancer. And at that point in time, you know, he's on a lot of medication. And so I was praying with him. Forgive me if I tear up. All of a sudden, he started crying because I was praying for him. And I was thanking God for his life and how much he loved him and how much he loved his family. And when it was all said and done, he closed his eyes, and his wife said to me, I've never seen him cry before. He's crying. And it gave me the opportunity to share with her why he was crying, and I think you know the end of that story. So thanks.
So it matters who you're with. Okay, Virginia?
Well, this is kind of a like a Christmas story of a person. When I was a little girl, my mother was a single mom. She had four kids, and she didn't have enough money. And so back then, people from the church, back then you could give used toys, you know, to needy people. And on Christmas Day, I got this doll. She was a porcelain doll. Her nose was cracked. Her hair was scraggly. But there was a note with this doll. And it said, this doll's name is Millie. And her old mom just couldn't take care of her enough. And Santa knew how good I was with my dolls, and he wanted me to take care of Millie. Well, I was thrilled. I took that note to school for show and tell. Santa Claus wrote me a letter, and I adored that doll and all that. And after Christmas, my mother said, talk to this lady on the phone. And the lady was from the church, I believe. And I said, oh my, I got this wonderful present, this wonderful doll, and Santa gave me this note. And I could hear her kind of crying on the phone. And I just think at that moment, it was a significant moment for that lady there too at church.
Significant moment. Someone cared. Wow. Wow. That's the second call today. So, thank you, Jim. Okay. You got it? Okay, over here. All right.
I always have something to say. I actually like to pray. I know many people, when they hear the ambulance call go off, they pray for the person. So if we could just pray for a second. Lord, we don't know what's going on right now, but someone needs the ambulance. I pray that you would comfort them and strengthen them and ease their pain. And I pray that you would give wisdom and guidance and direction and discernment to the EMTs. And if they have to go down to the hospital, Lord, please put your angels around them and the ambulance. Keep them in your care, Lord, and I pray that it goes on. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing I just want to share quickly is I love the community that we have up here. Through church, through town, through the ambulance, through Canada Works. And people ask me all the time, maybe they ask you too, what do you do all year up there in Central? They think we're just sitting around and sitting around. But if you go to the post office, and secondly, and you look at the bulletin board, there's a million things going on. And you can do everything, or you can do nothing. But I just love the community that we have, and I love our church and the community that we have. We need church, and church needs us. It works both ways. I'm just thankful for the community that we have here.
Thank you. Yeah. So it does matter who you're with.
Yeah. I'll let you know a little thing about the ambulance. Is that little boy who was bored watching this great eclipse, his comment, he knows that we pray. And we'll be driving somewhere with him, and an ambulance will go by and says, "Nanny, we got to pray. Nanny, we got to pray." And so we'll take a moment to pray. So it's wonderful. It matters who you're with. What is it? Someone else.
Someone else. Okay.
Thanks, sir. Jim, just as you were blessed by being with Freddie, I am truly blessed by being with my grandson, Jack. He's moved up here, and he's been such a blessing to me, I just can't get over it. He puts up with all my quirkiness, and he's just been wonderful.
It's neat how different people can affect us. Okay, John, who's touched your life?
Just made me think of one of my grandsons, Caleb, and they went on a mission trip, the whole family, intergenerational mission trip to their church in Rochester. And I was able to be out there when they had a meeting to just go over what they did. And it was such a blessing to hear Caleb speak about how he was able to share Jesus Christ with people in a foreign land. And it was just, and also sharing water filters with them. That's what they did. And it was just wonderful. You could just see the joy of the Lord in him, and it was a blessing anyway.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, D in the back. Okay. All right. Aaron, beat me to it. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Andy. For those who I don't know yet, we live outside of Philadelphia, but we're here a good part of the year as well.
Matters who you're with, Jim. I want to share a conviction in my life. The Lord had to rebuke me a few times. Does that on a regular basis because I'm a little slow. But at work this week, our director of HR came into my office. He said, "You really need to interview this finance person. It's a significant position in our company." And I said, "I'm too busy. Just you interviewed, our general manager interviewed. I'm good." She said, "No, it's a strong enough position that you need to have the last look. He's only available at 10 a.m. on Friday." And I was kind of annoyed that she was pressing on me to have this interview and said, "Just make the decision." But she insisted. So I moved my calendar around. I was not exuding the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, right? But I did it anyway. And this young man comes in. He looks like he's 12 years old. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm wasting my time having this conversation. There's no way he's qualified for this position. He sits down, and we do the proverbial greetings, hellos, etc. I kind of get in my groove, and he's sharing a story about his life, and it was very clear to me, as we're talking, that God was working in his life by the story he shared. I said, "I don't know, Tom, if you're a person of faith, but to me that sounds like a divine appointment." And he said, "I can't believe you're saying that right now." He said, "I grew up, and my whole life I was an atheist, and a year ago, a friend of mine gave me a Bible and said, just read it." And so he said, "I just prayed a simple prayer. God, if you're real, give me faith," which is a tremendous prayer for all of us to pray, whether we know Jesus or not, right? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I have to tell you, in my office at 10 o'clock on Friday, we went from me being annoyed that someone was put in my office when I wasn't planning that appointment to a little worship service where we got to pray together. I got to get my Bible out of my drawer and read scripture with him. And he said, "I can't believe this. I've only known Jesus for about 9 months. And here I am coming in for an interview, and I'm praying with my future boss." And it was just an incredible opportunity to see Jesus at work in Tom's life, and true confessions, Jesus at work in mine as well. So it matters who you're with.
That's neat. And God is working. God is working through a lot of people, different people here. Eric, you want to give the microphone to Dee? God is doing great things, and it's so exciting, and that's why I just wanted to take some time just to share and, you know, who's important to you and what's special about Christmas right now. And
well, the thing that I think about is how much God cares about each one of us. I was at a very low point in my life. I actually was suicidal, and I was a regular attender of a different denomination. And one Sunday, when the service was over and I was driving home, I said, Lord, is that all there is? And within a few days, the Lord sent someone who had only been saved 1 week. That person read the Four Spiritual Laws book to me, and I believed it. And that very night, I gave my life to the Lord, and it changed everything forever. And I'm so thankful that God cares. Even if you don't know who he is and you reach out to him, he'll answer.
Anyone else like to share? Yeah, Linda? Yeah, Eric's got you.
As many of you, I also was born into a Christian family, and so, you know, God blessed, and I'm very close with my family. However, as many of you, I'm a long way from my family, and so I want to emphasize that it's the family of God that God puts in our lives. And through many years, I've had a lot of health struggles, and yet the family of God is there for me and praying for me, and I'm so blessed. And in different seasons, God brings people right alongside, because it's fascinating to look back on our lives. And the extended family of God, Kate Treeseis's sister and her husband, are huge encouragement in their testimony and life for God. I think of John and Kathy Dale, when you were here, and just how you ministered in my life, and now the Towers, and so many people that God uses right here in our midst to encourage, to bring alongside, and it's just a huge blessing. And in this past year, I also say Judy DeYoung has been a great friend to me and a great help, and I'm very thankful for her.
Nate. All right. Anyone else want to share? I would be very remiss if I didn't just say thank you to everyone here. Some of you might know. Oh, by the way, welcome. If you're a visitor here, welcome. Our pastor, Nate, is great. He'll be back next week, healthy, Lord willing. We're praying. But put this down. Don't need this. I was in Egypt with the Camp of the Woods mission trip, and it was seven people that were sent over there to try to train Sudanese refugees. Around Cairo, there's about 6 million of them, some from the first Sudan, South Sudan war, and some now more recently. And it was fabulous. And again, I can attest that it matters who you're with. The people that God put together on that mission trip were fabulous. And was it perfect harmony in every way? No. But it was special, a special time, and God did great things through it and unique things. And I just think that it was special to see the nurses in training, the nurses' aides, get up and be able to teach the material that we had taught. And I just would just say that, yeah, it matters who you're with, and the people that God put together on that trip were absolutely special, and that we felt the Spirit moving. And I have to thank you for your prayers, because I know that prayers make a huge difference. And I'm just so, so very thankful for that. I'd be very remiss if I didn't just share about it matters who you're with, that it, just in case you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate. Jesus came. We talk about Christmas, okay? So we have the nativity. We have the baby Jesus routine right now. We have the Advent. But, you know, in 3 months we'll be talking about Easter. And that is why he came. He came to show us what life is really about. He came to show us what really matters. And I'd be very remiss if I didn't say, yeah, you know, what God wants us to do and how he wants us to do it is laid out in his word. We have it. We saw the illustration of Peter and John helping someone up. Now, I got news for you. This is Christmas time. And, you know, there's a lot of people who suffer from depression, a lot of people who struggle with things. And I happen to be a little bit in that. I'm in that category. And there's people that have come alongside of me, and people as I've extended myself to others. But it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of His Holy Spirit. And it makes a difference. And I just got to tell you, if you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that. All you have to pray is the sinner's prayer. And Lord knows I'm the sinner. And I've done it. Our men's group, we kind of have fun. We smile at each other. We have one requirement to be in this group, and that is to recognize that I'm a sinner saved by grace. If you can say that, you belong in our group. And that's it. So I'm a sinner saved by grace, and God is doing great things through these other people, and He's doing great things through this church. But please, if you don't know who Jesus is, He came, He was born, He died. I will tell you something about Egypt. Jesus went from Bethlehem to Egypt, and they actually have areas where they believe Jesus was as an infant. And you can see ground where actually Jesus could have walked as an infant, started his walking career as an adolescent. And it's amazing, the history there. And I just would mention that because Jesus is real. And when we were at that church, and this is one church built on top of a Roman tower, built on top of another church, and you could work your way down through to see where the old ground was. You know, there was just a spirit there. And I just pray that that spirit continues here in this church, continues here among you, and that your Christmas will just have that spirit just in full force, just being real. And so I would just share that if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, now would be the time to pray the sinner's prayer. Pray and ask God to touch your life, to forgive you your sins, and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and to be involved. And I have to tell you, it matters who you're with. And it matters their eternity if you're with Jesus. So let's pray. Lord God and Father, I thank You so much for this time. We do lift up Pastor Nate to You and just ask You to touch him. You know our prayer request list. We especially pray for Sherry and her surgery coming up, and Shari Smith. And we just ask You to touch all these people, Lord. But Lord, just touch all of us that we might just know the height and depth and breadth of Your love. We sang the gospel song earlier, and it's right there. And we just ask, Lord, that everyone here would just know the height and depth and breadth of Your love. And this Christmas time, Lord, just be with us in a special way. May Your Holy Spirit just touch all of us, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on in our lives, the highs and the lows, the illnesses and the hurts, and the frustrations and the depressions. And Lord, just touch us all that we may be closer to You. And thank You, Lord, that You came because You wanted to be with us. And it's mattered to us, all of us here. In Jesus' name, amen.